All right. I want to ask if you would turn in your Bibles this afternoon to Psalm 57. And I guess I asked for that since I reminded you all this morning of our Philly teams. So I served up that softball there for them. Psalm 57. Thank you for having us. We really enjoy being here, and you are really wonderful people. You make us feel so welcome all the time. So thank you very much. In 1 Samuel 17, you turn to Psalm 57. So, but in 1 Samuel 17, you read about how the Philistines gathered together their armies to do battle against the Israelites. And again, we mentioned a little bit of this morning. There's Saul, and he's the king of the Israelites. And he gathers up his armies, and they're there. And you kind of wonder and thinking, okay, what should be happening? Something should be going on here. And Scripture records for us that the Philistines are perched on one side of the mountain, and you have the Israelites perched on the other side of the mountain. And then out of the Philistines comes this giant named Goliath. And as if the sheer size of this man wasn't taunting enough and intimidating enough, this giant man steps forward and he verbally starts taunting the Israelites, challenging anybody want to step forward, anybody want to fight me? And Scripture records that when the Israelites saw Goliath and they heard his words, they became dismayed and they were greatly afraid. And then if you would just fast forward a little bit in that same scenario there, you read about this young man, David, how he steps forward and he volunteers to go head to head with this giant. And as David tries to convince Saul that he's the one who has to do battle with Goliath, he tells him how he was keeping his father's sheep one day, and there was this lion, there's this bear came and took a lamb out from the flock, and he tells Saul how he went after that one sheep, and in so doing, he smote that lion and smote the bear. And David said, he said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Therefore, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine," in reference to Goliath. And so with that, Saul was convinced, suited David up, and sent him out to fight against this giant. And David, as you know the story goes, with his sling and his stones there, he goes out and he kills Goliath. Now, all of us here have already, or we will at some point in our lives, encounter a bear or a lion. And that bear or that lion can come in any form, any shape, any size. It can be for a short period of time. It can be for a long period of time. But we all are going to encounter at some point a lion or a bear. We have our own lions, we have our own bears that we have to deal with. And what we learned from this as well was that it was the Lord who delivered David from the bear, from the lion. And it was the Lord that delivered David and the Israelites out of the hand of Goliath and the Philistines. And it is the Lord who is faithful. Amen. It is the Lord who has promised us that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. Yes, he does allow us to encounter bears and encounter lions. But we have to remember that when we do encounter them, that He, the Lord, is ultimately in control. And he knows, and he's allowing you to face them. And he's with you as you are facing it. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And so what I want to do, just for the remainder of our time here, is I want to draw your attention to two different psalms. Both of these psalms have something in common. And you turn to the first one, Psalm 57. And I want you to notice, please, the superscription right before it, the little heading. Many of our Bibles will put little headings above, you know, different chapters and the different psalms. In my Bible, it says this, before Psalm 57, it says, to the chief musician of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So David's the author of this psalm, and he's recounting what you would read back in 1 Samuel 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I referenced that for you just a little bit ago there. David, he's recounting this. Saul wanted to destroy David. Saul is hunting David down, if you will, like a wild animal. And so David's on the run. He's fleeing from Saul. He's hiding in a cave. And so this is, if we can call it this, this is a cave psalm. This is David's cry from this cave in that context. Now, if you would please hold your place in Psalm 57 and turn to Psalm 142. And then we'll go back and forth a little bit. So hold your place, Psalm 57, turn to Psalm 142. Note the heading or the superscription of this psalm. Psalm 142, my heading says this, a prayer when he was in what? The cave. So you have these two psalms here who were written by David while he was hiding out in a cave because he was being hunted like a wild animal. Because he was in dire straits and he was in need of help. But David really didn't have anybody, humanly speaking, that he could depend upon. He really had nowhere to turn, feeling trapped, felt utterly helpless before his enemies. And so David encountered a bear, he encountered a lion. And we all, if we haven't already, or maybe not currently, we all will, we are going to face bears and lions in our lifetime as well. And now we can say that David also encountered being in a cave, hiding out, all alone, afraid. And we too, we're all going to encounter a cave moment at some point in our life as well. So what do you do? What do you do when you find yourself in a cave? As I was reading these two psalms, my thoughts turned to another individual from the scriptures that went through a similar situation. Where did Jonah find himself at a certain point in his life? Jonah found himself in sort of a cave too, right? In the belly of a fish. He was also on the run, right? But he was on the run for the wrong reason. He was on the run disobeying God, trying to flee God. David is the opposite. He's trying to live in obedience to God. Either way, what do you do when you find yourself in a cave? What do you do when you find yourself in the belly of a fish? If you have not yet found yourself in a cave, rest assured you will one day. And so what are you going to do? Well, what did David do? If you would turn back to Psalm 57, again, hold your place there between these two psalms. Look at Psalm 57. I'll just read the first three verses for you as we get started here. Psalm 57, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Verses 1 through 3, what we just read, simply record for us David crying out for divine intervention. Look at verse 1. He cries out to God for mercy. Look at what it says. "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." David turns all of his attention toward God and cries out to be merciful. God, be merciful. Are you here this afternoon feeling like you're in a cave? Are you here today feeling like you're alone? Maybe trapped. Maybe something has you fearful. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you feel confined today by your health situation. You can't do the things you used to do. You can't serve the Lord the way you once did. Maybe you feel alone as you continue to struggle with some illness. And maybe you're tempted to think, well, nobody understands what it is that I'm going through. You're thinking you're all alone. Maybe you're feeling confined by your financial situation. Maybe you're feeling confined by a certain family situation, maybe your marriage situation. We all have, we all will be at one time or another in a cave. I appreciate your patience going back and forth. Hold your place in Psalm 57, flip back over to Psalm 142. Look at what David says there in verse 3. Psalm 142, verse 3, he says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me." Are you feeling overwhelmed today? Look at what David said in verse 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." David said that in his afflictions, he had no companionship, no fellowship. Look, "No man cared for my soul," he says. Are you feeling like that this afternoon? You look at verse 6, David says he was brought very low. Are you feeling very low today? You feel like things just can't get any worse, that you've hit rock bottom? I want to share with you very quickly four things that David did while he was in this cave. I forget where you're at. Be in Psalm 57. I forget which psalm you're in now. If you would just turn to Psalm 57. Four things, very simply for us, as we end our time together today. What did David do while he was in this cave? Notice again verse 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." And now look at what it says, "For my soul trusteth in thee." The first thing that David did was exercise his faith. In plain language, He believed that God was going to come through for him. I mean, that's what faith is, right? That's what's going to get you through your cave. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I can say it this way, faith is our handle on what we cannot see. When you find yourself in a cave, when that time comes and you find yourself in a cave, you have to disregard your circumstances. You have to disregard all the circumstantial evidences around you, and you have to look to God and His promises and lay hold on His promises with the handle of faith. When David was in the cave, that's what he did. He exercised his faith in God. Do you believe this afternoon that God is actively working in your life, in your cave? You think about Joseph. You think about what we looked at this morning and during the Sunday school hour. Do you believe that God's actively working in your life, even if it's a cave moment for you right now? Walk in your cave by faith and not by sight. It's hard to see in a cave. Caves are dark. And caves force us to walk by faith and not by sight. They force us to walk by the evidence of things not seen. So that's the first thing David did. Notice the second thing that David did. And it's his faith that really enables him to do this. Look how verse 1 goes on, Psalm 57. It says there, he says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. First, he exercised his faith. Now, second, it says he flees to God's presence for refuge. How many times do we feel like running away as opposed to running to God? David felt like running away. You're in Psalm 57. Look back at Psalm 55, and you might not even have to turn a page in your Bible, maybe one. Psalm 55, verse 6, David felt like running away. Look at what it says. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. There was a time in which David felt like that. If I could just escape this all, if I can just run away, if I can just get out of this cave. But instead of sprouting wings like a dove, he exercises his faith and he seeks refuge under the wings of his God. Whatever cave you may find yourself in this afternoon, you do have the real promise of God's presence. Jesus said, he said, lo, I am going to be with you always, literally all the days, even unto the end of the age. Psalm 46, verse 1, you don't need to turn there. God is our refuge and our help, our very present help in trouble. God is with us in our caves. He's abundantly available to help in times of trouble. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. When you read through your Bible, do you know when you read through your Bible that God's presence is actually promised more in those times than any other time? When you're in a cave, exercise your faith. Flee to God, who is your refuge. And the third thing that David did while he was in that cave was wait. And there's that word again, wait. David waited patiently for God to intervene. Psalm 57, look at the end of verse 1. I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Verse 3, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Sometimes, we've talked about this today, sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is wait. Wait on our God. I think everybody would honestly be able to raise their hand to say, do I like waiting on God or I dislike waiting on God? How many of you dislike waiting on God? I dislike waiting. Anybody like waiting? And look at verse 1. Look at that word calamities. That is a word in the Hebrew that means a destructive storm that could engulf you. Destructive storms can engulf us. When you find yourself in a cave, exercise your faith and trust in God. You turn to Him for refuge and you wait patiently. Sometimes we just have to wait it out. When the disciples were out at sea, storm came upon them. Jesus was down in the boat sleeping. Disciples thought the storm was going to engulf them and that they were going to perish. They go down, they wake Jesus up because they thought Jesus didn't care. They thought Jesus may have forgotten them during the storm. Do you realize tonight, would you understand this afternoon that Jesus hasn't forgotten you? He does care. We sang about it today. He knows what you're going through. He, behind the scenes, is orchestrating it all. Exercise your faith in Him. Turn to Him for refuge and wait. Wait on Him. Wait for the storm to pass. Wait for God to intervene. Sometimes the best thing to do while you're in a cave is to do nothing. Be like Psalm 46, be still and just know He's God. And the fourth thing that David did while he was in the cave was that he longed for the glory of God. Look at verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David didn't just want to escape from the cave. David didn't want to just escape from his predicament. David wanted to what? He wanted to exalt the Lord. Look at verse 11. You see, he says the same exact thing. And if we were honest with ourselves this afternoon, I think we would all acknowledge that our first instinct is, get me out of this problem. God, get me out of this cave. God, get me out of this situation. Isn't that usually our first instinct? Isn't that usually our first prayer? God, help me. God, alleviate this. God, get me out of this. When you find yourself in the belly of a fish, when you find yourself in a cave, when you find yourself in a fiery furnace, when you find yourself up against a lion or a bear, instead of wanting out, change your attitude from escape to exaltation. Seek to exalt the Lord as opposed to seeking to escape the calamity. And how do you do that? That's found in verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 57. Look at what it says. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. If you find yourself in a cave, Exercise your faith with all your inner being. Just trust in your God. Turn to Him. Turn to Him for refuge. Wait on Him to intervene. Wait for the storm to pass. And think biblically when you're in that cave. Seek to exalt Him as opposed to seeking how to escape the cave. And you can exalt God and you can do all these things by praising Him while you're in that cave. And rest assured this afternoon that as you are praising God, God will hear and answer your cries. And He will do something miraculous and amazing in your life, and your soul will be at peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time today.